welcome. Sit back, relax, for a little bit of reflection, introspection, and connection. Join us in our authentic chats about how we navigate this world as humans. Before we start, a big thank you to our sponsor, changeyourliferetreats.com, a place where you can start your path to authenticity. Find out more at changeyourliferetreats.com. Welcome to the Talking Minds podcast. I'm here again with Paulina. Hello, Paulina.
Hello.
Hey, do you know what? It's not long. Just completely aside before we start the podcast. We're going to be meeting in New York in like 4 weeks and going to the retreat. It's going to be amazing. Anyway, but this leads on, actually that leads on very nicely to, I was speaking with a client who was talking about these challenges that she was having in her life. And I asked her a question, and I said, to what end, you're on this journey in this race, to what end? And she said, well, if I achieve this and if I get this knowledge and if I do this, then I'll be able to help other people and that'll give me satisfaction. And I said, to what end? And she kind of repeated the whole thing and I just kept saying, to what end, until I could see that she was getting to the point. And I said, everything you've told me so far is in the future and about other people, that if you do this, you'll get something from other people, right? Now that's no guarantee. What's the one thing that if everything that you desired had come into play, right? You've got clients coming in, you've got everything happening in your life. What would be the one thing you could give yourself that would bring you joy every day? And she said, I'd love to be able to dance. I'd like to dance more. So I thought with this podcast, we could discuss how can we allow ourselves to dance through life and really give ourselves permission to bring the thing that we actually need in right now. And this is something I realized some time ago, is that maybe am I on the right path? And what I said to her is, I said, you know, you're trying to bring this stuff into your life, but it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got to make sure you know what your dance is, because if you want to dance salsa, but you keep turning up at line dancing classes and then wondering why things aren't working out, it's because your environment is wrong. So you need to not only know what you want to do and the path you want to take, but you also need to know the environment. So I just thought this really talks into what we're doing on the retreat as well, and these kind of 3-hour things that we're going to be doing workshop. As well at the retreat. Yeah, the workshops about giving yourself permission to be authentically yourself and, you know, dancing right now.
Yeah.
And I also said that, you know, there's a couple of dances. You can do the salsa, the merengue, you can sway from side to side, or you can do the robot, you know? the robot's great and it has some comedic effect, but the salsa or the merengue or the rumba is flow, it's beauty. So the majority of us, I think, are just doing the robot.
Yeah.
We're not really dancing the salsa or the merengue, because it's probably just easier to do the robot.
Yeah.
And it takes a bit of practice at doing the salsa. And yeah, you're going to be awkward, and yeah, you're going to step on people's toes. But it's all about giving yourself that permission just to dance. And maybe just the process of learning to dance is the exciting bit. Because once you learn to dance, you never have it perfected, do you?
This actually reminded me of the workshop that I used to teach in New York. It was actually like a moving meditation workshop. So we would blindfold people and ask them to dance like no one's watching. And that was the most amazing experience for a lot of them. And we had 3 sets, so 3 sections, 15 minutes each. So the first one, people didn't know what to expect. They were shy. They were, looking for a way to seize that, you know, kind of like see what's going on, if it safe or if it's too scary or risky. So the first one was always very awkward. The second one, they kind of knew more or less what was going on. So they would, you know, become more open, more, you know, trusting. And the third one was the best. It was like a home stretch. They would really try to make the most of it. And some people, funny enough, I remember one of the participants, the girl, she didn't even dance. She was laying down because she was thinking she's a whale. And people were, you know, pretending to be some animals or some, you know, different creatures. It was so wild because the spirit came into play. And that was really interesting to see that.
And isn't it interesting? Because that reminds me of something as well. That imagine, I don't know if you've ever done this, right? I'm going to do it from a girl perspective, but boys do it as well because I did it. You're 4 years old and you go out for a walk. And you pass a field with horses and you see the horses running around and you love the energy and the excitement and you come back home and all you want to do is be with the horses, run around with the horses, and you can't. So what you do is you pick up a broom and you put the broom between your legs and you ride around and ride a horse.
Yeah.
When you're 4 or 5, you're riding that horse. Everybody else sees that it's a broom handle, but you're there, you're in the moment, you're riding that horse. You've brought that experience into your life right there. And it might not be perfect, it might not be the perfect horse, but it's safe. And it's the essence and the feeling. And I think that that's what I'm trying to invoke here with that question is, how do we allow ourselves to dance through life? Is why can't we bring the feeling and the essence of that thing that we want, right? So we're sending a vibrational code out to the universe that says, I might not be able to achieve that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I might not have the resources, I might not have the environment, but wouldn't it be nice if I could bring some element of that in? What would that look like to be free?
Yeah.
So I'll give you a very quick example. So I worked with that client this morning, got lots of things to do. And for once, the sun is shining here. And so I was going to make myself some avocado on toast. We had no bread. Well, we did have bread, but it was like the toxic white bread that I refused to eat. So I said, I thought I'll walk to the shop because we've got a shop in the village because we just moved to this new village. We've got a shop. It's awesome. I can walk to the shop now. Like an amazing transformational thing. And so we took the dogs for a walk. And so I took the dogs for a walk. And I just was really conscious of just spending that time, allowing myself to feel the sun. Because one of the things that I would love to do is own somewhere in Italy and have more time in the sun. And I just thought, well, I can, it's not the same. It's the same sun, clearly. It's not the same experience. But I thought, actually, this is abundance. Spending some time, you know, 30 minutes, just walking with the dogs, allowing myself to see the sun. Allow myself to notice the grass, just noticing. Yeah, so just allowing myself just to be present in that moment. And just, so there's, as we walk to the shop, there's a field. And I thought, I'll take the dogs in the field. And I was watching Penny, our little Cocker Spaniel, with this smile on her face. She was just being a crazy Cocker Spaniel, just running around and running around. And then she found this tattered ball, right? A tennis ball that had all the fluff taken off it. And she got this in her mouth, just going, like completely abundant, just running around, being free. And I was like, this is what it's about. It's just about that moment of connection. And, you know, the Labrador's looking at the Cocker Spaniel going, you're an idiot, but that's by the by. But it was that moment of, you know, just allowing yourself to be present and just bringing that dance in. And we spend so much time craving, I need to work hard, I need to work hard, I need to work hard so I can have that moment. But actually, if we can carve space into our lives just to have that moment, you know, have that time to dance and give ourselves permission.
Yeah, it reminds me of inspiration. Like inspiration you cannot force. It's not like you have a computer going to sit and write the, you know, numbers in Excel sheet. You force yourself to do that and you're doing this. With inspiration, it never happens. Like, it's never planned. You get those moments of inspiration all day, every day. And it's your job to seize that moment, to write it down or do something with it. And I feel with the dance and this flow of life, it's a moment to moment creation. It's to open yourself to those little moments, because when you're working, 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 and then you go on vacation, very often people don't enjoy.
No.
They've been in that moment for a year. God forbid someone has a full-time job and they can have only a week off, and they're waiting for that week for the whole year.
Yeah.
There's going to be so much disappointment. It's not even possible to not have it, because the expectation is so high, because you've been working for this so much, you know, for so long.
And it's bringing pockets of stillness in. But I want to just go back to what you were just saying. I'm really interested and curious. You said about the activity, the dance and the blindfold and all the rest of it. And the lady who was a whale.
I know.
Looking at those people coming in with that hesitation, that uncertainty, as a result of, I guess, allowing themselves to feel safe. So what happened in the process made them feel psychologically safe to start to express themselves. Did they get any realizations? What was the feedback? What was the kind of, what was the end result of allowing them to step into that unfamiliar environment and do something different? What did they learn?
So the first thing about the safety, which is really important. So I was there to keep an eye on them, so they don't go into the wall or they don't hurt themselves. Obviously, I made sure that
that's more health and safety rather than anything else, rather than psychological safety.
It's both, you know, it's the psychological healthy, health too, because they have to feel that it's okay to do this and it's not dangerous, right? On many levels. However, what they discovered, as I always do this with my breathwork sessions, small sessions, is the same, the process of 1, 2, 3. They discovered their path, the journey of the first section, right? It was completely different. The second one was different than the first one. And the third one was a little bit more familiar, and they started exploring more. And a lot of times at the end of the session, which is, I mean, the third part, people really go like crazy in a good way. Like they really trying to unleash, really open themselves up, start dancing. Like, you know, they would never dance in front of anyone. And they start seeing things. Like I had some clients who would channel the energy of Shakti. They would be in that energy, or they would see some Egyptian goddesses. They would see some symbols. They would see some things that would come to them during that dance. And they were that channel to use the body to move according to that.
Move,
you know,
the energy.
They didn't know that they were dancing, you know, some kind of tribal thing, for example.
And what's interesting is like three, the Holy Trinity.
Yeah.
What that sounds like to me is the first thing is the what, the logical process. You know, 5% of our brain, you know, the logical bit, that's where we get scared. Should we do it? You know, what is it I need to do? What are the rules around this? So you set the rules in motion. And then I'm guessing the second time you allow them to explore that. So how can you do this differently? How can you move, right? So when the what and the how come together, that creates a safety that, okay, I don't know what I need to do. Actually, I can express myself in whatever way I want to. So there are really no rules. I can make my own rules up, which is quite freeing. And by the allowing of doing that, then they tapped into their subconscious mind and felt the why to the what.
Mm.
And so I think that's a pattern that, whether it's breath work, whether it's yoga, whether it's the hypnotherapy, whether it's coaching, that journey to the why, that dance to the why, is really important. And it goes back to what I was saying at the start of the podcast about that lady. Why are you doing this? You know, inevitably, what do you get out of it? And why do you want to get that out of it? Well, if I can do this, then I can bring joy into my life and I can do this. Why not try and bring that into your life now? You can dance anywhere. To dance doesn't require money. To dance doesn't require a ballroom.
That's true.
And so
That's
I think
true.
that I think the question really in the podcast that we need to be asking people to think about is, why can't you dance now? And I think the answer to that often is because I don't know how to give myself permission. And often we need somebody to help us to just say, it's okay. I give you permission to be you. It's okay. I've got you. I'll guide you. I'll keep you safe. So you created those boundaries of safety, health and safety, as well as spiritual safety, to just go and explore. This is safe. And I think this is one of the things, the pieces that are missing when it comes to facilitating transformation, because I know that's something we're talking a lot about at the moment, is that good coaches, good therapists, you know, good facilitators facilitate the journey so that the client gains the insights. When there are so many people out there that are going, do this, do that, do that, they're strategizing and telling you, this is what enlightenment looks like. This is the path to enlightenment. This is the path to transformation, which is not true. There is a framework and a kind of set of rules roughly guiding you in there. But the most important thing is that environment and that safety. But the problem is, you have to give yourself permission to start that journey. You have to give yourself permission to be awkward. You have to give yourself permission to go in and have that difficult conversation and really feel into, why would I want a conversation with this person? You know, what do I get out of it? Because even if the conversation isn't a great conversation, you've already succeeded in realizing that isn't what you want.
Yeah.
Which allows you to move in and gives yourself permission to explore even further, which is really what that dance you were talking about was that you did. It was, I'm never really going to fail. I'm just finding my own permission and my own permission and my own movement and finding my own tribe.
Yeah.
And I'm just allowing myself to dance through that and go through that process. And I think that's the beautiful thing about the work that we do.
Yeah.
And people like us, is that people might want to find permission through hypnotherapy and coaching. People might want to find permission through psychedelics. People might want to find permission through breath work. But the thing is, you're not tied to one thing.
Correct.
I do what I do, but my own pathway to my next elevation has always been to go and do something else, to do some breath work. You know, I haven't done ayahuasca or psychedelics. It's on my list of things.
Maybe that's the next trip.
Yeah. But do you know what I'm saying? And this is the thing, isn't it? Is that you need to find your flow, but give yourself permission to dance and don't worry if you haven't got all the steps right.
Yeah, and that's so true. And I feel that for me, I've spent over 15 years searching, and I learned a lot of different tools. And as of now, breathwork is the most powerful because it's the foundation. Even though my monkey mind is wanting to do so many different things and so many different, you know, different methods.
Yeah.
Breathwork worked for me because it helped me and I see the value. However, it's not for everyone because some people prefer LSD, even though the breathwork can push you into that space and state of altered, you know, mind or the consciousness, different way of perceiving things. But for some people, they need maybe ayahuasca, you know, they need hypnotherapy.
Psilocybin, yeah. However, what I would say is, and would you not agree with this? I would say 100% that even with the stuff that I don't do breath work like you do breath work. I'm not trained in breath work, but I always bring it back to the breath. So even if you were doing psilocybin, even if you were doing kind of microdosing, if you're doing any of that, when you blend these things to the breath, so when you blend hypnotherapy with the breath, it becomes
yes.
So when I had my kind of what I was called my transient, I'm going to feel it's like an LSD moment, right? Not that I've ever taken LSD, but it was that, wow, like my mind just completely expanded. It was facilitated by doing the hypnotherapy, but it was facilitated by doing the hypnotherapy and consciously breathing in life into that process.
Yeah.
So I think that I would say that, and how accessible is the breath?
Yeah.
We all
Yeah.
know how to breathe, but we
Not
don't
perfect.
necessarily know how to breathe.
I know, you know, I did this, I did a lot of research on that. 80% of people don't know how to breathe. And 70% of our toxins are being released with the exhale. And 70% of energy we're gaining from the breathing, not the food. It's the breath that's keeping us alive.
Yeah, well, it's if you take the elements of wind, fire, and air, right? The air is the thing that brings things to life. Everything dies without air, doesn't it?
That's true.
Everything dies without air. Now, there are certain animals that can hibernate for months and years, right? But they've still got the oxygen inside them.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah. But again, we talk about dancing, you know, it's much harder to, if you're dancing in the Arctic compared to dancing on a beautiful beach, your breathing is going to be different and your movement is going to be different. So there are so many permutations of how we can dance through life and how we can use these different modalities that it's so expansive. And so it's giving yourself permission to explore. You know, I did Qigong. It was an amazing experience. Is it something that I do every day? No. But it's something I can go back to that I've used. Breathwork. You know, I've done breathwork before. Is it something that I feel passionate about doing every day, teaching people? No, it's not. Do I see that it being super powerful? Absolutely. And would that be my thing of wanting to go and do that sort of stuff? Yeah, because I don't, it's not what I do. So it's for me. I'm allowing myself to dance in something that's new for me.
Yeah.
You know, and so let's wrap this up then. How do you feel that you need to dance more? What is it you need to, if you were reflecting on this, what do you need to bring into your life now to allow yourself to dance a little bit more?
For me, it would be traveling. It was always my passion, and I've traveled a lot the last 30 years. And it gives me that energy to dance, you know, carry my bags and dancing towards the airport. It's the feeling inside that I get when I know I'm traveling somewhere. And I wish I could have that feeling every day, all day inside of me.
And you know what? That's really interesting, because I remember, I hope you don't mention, we'll cut this out if you don't want to, but I remember you said that conversation about with your dad and said, why are you going to the States? And why are you doing this? And why are you doing this? And maybe that's the answer. Why are you going to the States to do this thing? Because I need to feel alive and I need to dance.
That's correct. This is actually, you know, he was asking me, you know, what am I gaining this, you know, what am I getting out of this trip? Because obviously it's not financially, you know, it's not a financial reward. There's something bigger and something deeper that's going to happen, and it's already happening. It's the transformation that we are, all of us are going through, and all the people who are joining us on that retreat, that moment of, you know, shifting your perception, that moment of changing something about yourself, that moment of new perspective or opening a door to a new reality that we're stepping into, right?
This is
tangible, you know?
And it's always nicer to dance with other people.
Yes.
You know, it's brave to dance on your own. And sometimes it's easy to dance on your own because nobody's judging you if you're dancing on your own. But actually, if you give yourself permission to dance with other people without judgment, that's true connection. And so that's what we're going to be doing over there, isn't it? We're going to be dancing with other people. We're facilitating this stuff, but we're going to be learning about ourselves. We're going to go through that process. We're going to spend that time. And so, I mean, if I was to reflect on that question, I guess what I'm missing and what I crave is to do more dancing with other people. I don't necessarily mean dancing with other people, right? But I think that having those experiences of connection and purpose And that energy just flowing between people and just having a good time.
Yes.
Is so important, you know, and that's one of the reasons why, obviously, I'm going over to the States with you. It's one of the reasons why I go and do the other stuff that I do, where, yeah, I'm spending money where maybe I could do that in the business or I could invest it. But actually, to what end? To what end? You know, better to bring something into your life and just dance for that one moment. And it's something I'm talking with clients at the moment about, which is the return on investment. You know, and it goes back to maybe you're doing the right dance, but maybe you're doing the right dance in the wrong place.
Maybe.
And sometimes that might be the thing that you need to think about, is that the reason why you're not giving yourself permission to dance is because you're not dancing with the right people. And you're not in the right environment.
Yeah.
And maybe sometimes you need to explore, well, where is it that I need to dance? Maybe you need a dance instructor to tell you, number one, did you realize this is the dance you were dancing? Because maybe you were doing the samba when you wanted to do the cha-cha-cha, right? And you've been thinking you're doing the cha-cha-cha, and everybody's going, this person's
crazy.
is in the cha-cha-cha class, and they're doing the samba. And then you're enjoying yourself, and you're thinking everything's great, but you can't realize that you're not doing the right dance for that right place.
I know.
And so sometimes, you know, going through a transformational experience allows you to maybe see the dance that you're dancing. And maybe it's nothing wrong with you. Maybe it's just, it's the environment, or you're in the wrong room.
Yeah, I'm with you. Yeah,
yeah.
On that.
And the great phrase that I love, which is, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll think it'll amount to nothing.
Yeah.
So with that, maybe you can let people think, if you're, what dance are you dancing? Or maybe you want to dance more, but you don't feel you can. What are your takeaways from what we've spoken about today? How can you create more flow in your life by finding your own groove? And what is it that needs to happen next? Are you creating a pathway, hoping that something will happen? You'll find the place where you're going to dance, and then when you turn up there, it's closed. How can you bring that into your life right now? And what needs to happen for you to start dancing a little bit more?